And we'll read some things here tonight. We're going to go for Revelation 11, we're going to Revelation 1, and then we'll go back to Revelation 4, Revelation 11. And it says in verse 15, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord." Amen. Now, Donald Trump is not the answer. And Donald Trump's, he's all men are liars, and Donald Trump's probably a liar just like the rest of them. But at least the guy, I believe the guy loves the country. I think he does. I hope he does. And I hope he wants to make America great and all that stuff. That'd be a blessing. But for the Antichrist to come in, he's got to have America down. And the way they've got it lined up, I've seen it, the way the 10 world, they got the 10 kings from the 10 kingdoms. They got America, they got Canada, and Mexico together as one. And all this stuff, they've already been planning on how they're going to make everything work in the one world government. And that's what these billionaires and the Illuminati and you say there was a book put out called None Dare Call It Treason. And what it was, these guys were planning how the world would become one. They watch Star Trek and they think, well, you know, the Federation. They talked about the Federation, one world, and that's you know, they're living in a fantasy world. That's what they're doing. They're living in that fantasy world where they think, well, we're gonna go out in outer space. We're gonna have other kingdoms, other worlds. We're gonna have other people on other worlds. That's why we're sending rockets in outer space trying to find life out there. I'm for everybody getting together, but I'm for everybody getting together in the right, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and following him. That's what I'm for. And they're not for that one bit. They're against Jesus Christ, the Bible. They're against you praying in school. They're against you carrying your children, having a Bible and learn how to pray. And they're against all that thing. They're against the churches. And they're against anybody preaching the truth. That's why a lot of the churches that are flourishing, they don't preach the Bible. They just got a band, they got music, and they got carry on. They just have that. They don't have Bible preaching. They don't have that. They don't preach any on sin anywhere. So that's why a lot of these churches that are like down in Texas, what's that guy's name? Joel Osteen and others. Now, the only one I know of that I've seen on there that's really preaching is Hagee. I haven't seen him in a while, but Hagee's preaching on there, preaching some Bible. But you see Kenneth Copeland's now going back to the Catholic Church, saying we all came out of the Catholic Church, we're all going to go back to the Catholic Church. That's a lie. We didn't come out of the Catholic Church. The Protestants, they broke from the Catholic Church, but Bible believers never were close in it, never were. So, and then look here in verse 15. You want to know what God's goal is? God's goal is that his son comes back to this earth, takes over, and rules and reigns on this earth. That's God's goal. That's why Jesus Christ died. He paid our sin debt, but he's coming back. He's coming back, and he's going to rule and reign. And I'm looking forward to that. Why? There won't be no politics in it. There won't be nobody. You don't have to worry about they're lying or not. And you don't have to worry about who's telling the truth. I mean, you say, is Donald Trump telling the truth? Who knows, man? I hope he does. I hope he's doing it. But I know this, you know them by their fruit. I know that. And here's you got the former president, and then George Bush, every one of those presidents, even Clinton, they all said, we're going to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And every one of them didn't do it, then we've had trouble. I mean, trouble. And I think Ronald Reagan even said that he was going to do it. He didn't do it. And then here we are. This guy's saying he's going to do it. I hope he does. I hope he moves it to Jerusalem. Why? Because one day soon it's going to break loose. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign for how long? Forever. And guess what? They ain't going to be able to say nothing about it. And they're not going to go to the Congress, they're not going to go to the Senate, and they're going to vote on it and mess around for a couple of years and figure out what they're going to do. It's going to be dictatorship. The Lord's going to rule, and he's going to reign. But it's going to be in righteousness. He's our king. And the world doesn't look at Jesus Christ as their king. What they use, they look at Jesus Christ as a foul cuss word. That's what they look at. And it says, the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God. These 24 elders, you say, who are they? They could be the 12 patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, going down through there, and then the 12 apostles. Because the 12 apostles asked Jesus Christ, they said, can we sit on your right hand and on your left? And that was John and James. And Jesus said, it's not for me to give that. That's up to the Father. And to sit on my right hand and on my left. They wanted to be able to, but I believe it's going to be the 12 apostles plus the patriarchs there sitting on the, but then we know this for sure. Look in chapter 11 and look at verse 3. It says, I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. And it says that these are the two olive trees, which look at this, the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. If any man will hurt them. So you got Moses and Elijah standing there with the Lord. And when Jesus Christ came back, he was on this earth, they in Matthew chapter 17, they were transfigured and they saw Moses and Elijah speaking with Jesus Christ. So here they are, Moses and Elijah stand beside Jesus Christ on his seat. And then you got the 24 elders sitting there round about the throne. They're round about and they're falling down before God and worshiping the Lord. You got the seraphims up there and they're praising God and they're worshiping the Lord. And they're singing, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And man, all millions and millions of God's people that are saved are up there. Hassie just passed away. She just got there. She only been there a minute, I guess, according to time. When it God, 1 day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years in 1 day. My mom and dad been there for a few minutes. My dad passed away in 1995. My mother in 1997. They only been there a few minutes, the way they feel. But they're walking around looking at all the beauty and all the house, looking at the mansions, looking at all them things. I believe they got a guide. I believe maybe one of the angels or maybe one of the patriarchs are guiding them around and telling them about what's going on. Or maybe there was somebody there at the gate when they came in, all waiting at the gate, and there was a crowd. The Bible talks about a great cloud of witness in Hebrews chapter 12. And it said, look at this. Look in Hebrews 12. Look what the Bible says. You say, man, what you said there are they bored in heaven? Man, you'll never get bored in heaven. Never. You'll never be bored. People say, oh, you're just going to sit around and play the harp? No, man. That'd be the greatest music you ever hear. I mean, the greatest singing you'll ever hear. And you won't want it to quit. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us. It's saying, the cloud of witnesses, man, they're saying, come on now, don't you quit. Pick it up. Pick up that cross and go on. The great cloud. I mean, I don't think they're looking over the banisters of heaven. Now, I watched a movie one time. It was an old movie from 1930, and it was a black producer that produced it, and he had all the angels looking over the banisters of heaven saying, oh boy, the Lord's going down and he mad now. And it was funny as anything. I'm telling you what, it was funny. But I don't think they're standing there looking over the banisters, but the Bible says that we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. So somebody's watching. The Bible talks about watchers. Now somebody's watching us. I know the Bible says the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fears him and delivers him. I know this. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the earth. The devil's watching. God's watching. There's a great cloud of witness. Maybe the Lord's turning around saying, hey, they need some help. Y'all need to, I don't know, man, wouldn't that be wild? Get to heaven. Somebody says, man, we saw what you went through. We praise God for you. Wouldn't that be a blessing? I mean, you quit and you never quit. You kept on going. In the middle of your trials, in the middle of your struggles, you kept on. Man, you say, well, I don't know if that's going to happen, but I tell you what, at the judgment seat of Christ, the Apostle Paul, we all read what the Apostle Paul went through, and he never quit. Amen. And the Apostle Paul kept on, man. He said, I count my life but dung. Man, it's nothing. So I might win Christ. Man, look back to Revelation 11. Look at Revelation 11. Now you got Moses and Elijah there. You got all the prophets. You got, man, you got the patriarchs, the 24 elders. And all, you got the seraphims. You got the cherubims. The cherubims there. They're up there. But look what the Bible says in Revelation 11. Look at verse 16. You know what this does for me? Knowing I'm going to see my loved ones again. I was telling them, I was telling all the family, we was at the place in Milford, was it hospice? And I said, this is real. All the family, bless my heart, all the family was there. And Hassie called the family together, and it came in. And you don't see that very often, where all the family passed by the bed with the children and the grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and she kissed them goodbye. Man, you don't see that. Amen. You don't see that very often. What a blessing that was. And knowing they're going to see grandma again, knowing that where they're going. I said, man, this is what makes salvation so great. This is where what we got, what we believe, man, where the rubber hits the road, brother, I tell you, we'll take you all the way to heaven. A lot of people don't believe. They don't have no hope. They have no, man, they don't know whether they're saved or not. They don't know whether they're going to go to heaven or not. They don't know none of that stuff, man. And here we are in our right mind and knowing what the Bible says, knowing that we're going to see the Lord. And she's seeing God now. Man, what a blessing. That stirs me up. Man, I tell you what, we got more and more over on the other side than we got here. They're more there serving God and worshiping God than they are here. We ought to be one. If anybody ought to be worshiping God, it ought to be us.
Yeah.
It ought to be us here praising God, thanking him for salvation, thanking him for how good he's been to us. But we can't see it. We just can't see it. And look at here, verse 16. It says, the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, which was, and which art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And it says, all nations were angry. There it is. The United Nations were angry, and thy wrath has come. The Lord's going to bring judgment on the United Nations. He says, in the time of the dead, that they should be judged. You know what, Josh, we sit there. He was showing me the other night. We watch these. They have it on PBS, all these war stories. And I watch some war stories. I watch about the Civil War. I watch about the Revolutionary War. I watch about the First World War, the Second World War. And all I can think is seeing all them people dying. All them people. Man, heaven or hell. Man, Hitler came out. Hitler's machine that he had built, his whole, the Third Reich, what he built was just for annihilation of people. It's to annihilate people. They said Hitler's U-boats sunk 3,700 ships. There was men on them ships. There was women on them ships. People went to the bottom, drowned, became food for the sharks and fish. And millions, 30-some million people died because one man running his mouth. One man getting up wanting to be a conqueror of the world. The Antichrist is coming. He's going to be worse than Adolf Hitler ever was. 30 million people, over 30 million people died because man got up and just wanted to dominate the world, conquer the world. When Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to dominate the world. But he's going to be in righteousness. This man, Hitler, gets up and he's running his mouth that Japan, the only reason we dropped atomic bombs on Japan because they never would surrender because they believed their emperor was God. And as long as he was there and alive, they would never surrender. You know, I watched a documentary about that. I've read books about the World War II. I've read where Hiroshima and Nagasaki, they never dropped bombs on them. The Americans never dropped bombs on, nor the British. So everybody, they thought, our gods are watching over us. So everybody went to Nagasaki, they went to Hiroshima, and they flocked there. The militaries flocked there. They said, we're safe here because our God must be making them blind. But what they were doing, they were getting everybody there so they could drop the atomic bomb on them. They never got bombed, never, until that day. You think about so many. And, you know, General MacArthur said this. He said, war is God's judgment here, and hell is God's judgment hereafter. You think about that. And the world still, when Jesus Christ hung on that cross and said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They're spitting on him. The God that died for him. The God that loved them and paid their, and people tell me, oh, God is not merciful. They say all that stuff. And I'm thinking about all the men that died. When the Jews, when Jesus Christ was hanging on that cross, and when they took him to the cross, they said to Caesar, and Caesar said, should I crucify your king? Shall I crucify your king? They said, we have no king but Caesar. They said, we'll take Rome. Guess what? Rome's still in power. We take no, we have no king but Caesar. Look what the Bible says in verse 17. It says, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, that which art, which was, and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldst give them rewards unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroyed the earth. Destroy them, destroyed the earth. Adolf Hitler, say, where is he at right now? More likely in hell. Destroyed the earth. World War II, man, there was more nations fighting in that war with 30 million people dying and I think 100 million casualties and all that. They destroyed. Why? It's all because of greed of man. Man can never be satisfied. Man should destroy them which destroyed the earth. When God made the garden, brother and sisters, when he made the earth and the garden, he made it perfect. When the man wouldn't have to labor, man wouldn't have to pay no bills, man wouldn't have to suffer, no disease. And he said the trees were for the healing. And God says, here, I'll put you in this perfect place. And along came, he always has a negative. Along, he's the only one thing. Don't eat that tree. One command, just one command. Don't eat from that tree. All the trees of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Don't eat from that tree. Why? The devil was connected with it. What does man do? He always goes towards the tree the devil's connected with. And the Bible says this, verse 19, and the temple of God was opened in heaven. Now I want you to see this. And there was seen in his temple the ark. Say, what ark? Was it Noah's ark? No. The ark of the covenant. That thing was there. Everything down here, when God told them to make the ark, instruments for the temple, and how to build the temple, what was looked like, and all that, and he made the tabernacle in the wilderness, and then the tabernacle in the wilderness became obsolete when the temple was built. They didn't need the tabernacle in the wilderness no more. The temple was there. And God said, make it according to what I've told you. And he takes a lot of detail in the Bible when you read it. It's boring. You read over there in Chronicles and stuff, and it's, you know, this linen garments and all that. So you read that stuff, and you go, man, what in the world? God takes so much time and so much detail in that stuff. Why? Because they represent what's up there. So the Ark of the Covenant, God said, make it gold with the cherubims facing each other, their wings touching, and all that. That Ark of the Covenant showed the power of God, where God dwelt in the Holy of Holies. If you go out here and look at that picture, you'll see that fire during the night. There was, right out of that Holy of Holies, there was a fire that went straight up to heaven. And when people, the nations of the world came as Israel was marching through, and the nations came and they went, oh my God, how can we fight against a God like that? Their plan was not to come to God and say, God, forgive us, we're sorry. Washes, cleanses. Their plan wasn't that. Their plan was, how can we defeat him? That's the way the world looks at it today. How can we defeat God? So, and then on a day, it was a cloud went straight up, right out of that Holy of Holies. So that Ark of the Covenant, you said, what happened to the Ark of the Covenant? Nobody really knows. The Ark of the Covenant, when Rome came in, they destroyed the temple. They say, I believe this. I believe the Ark of the Covenant was taken by, you know, y'all watched Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, somewhere in Washington, D.C., in a container in a government, you know, building somewhere, stored away. That's the way they left it, with Indiana Jones. But I believe the thing went to Ethiopia. I don't know why that I believe, because Israel back in the 1980s, they had a thing called Rescue Solomon. And Israel sent all their troops in overnight and went in and rescued these Ethiopian Jews. And I thought, why in the world? It was like 17,000 of them. Why in the world did they do that? They must have had something. And then you read over in the book of Acts chapter 8, where the Ethiopian eunuch came from Ethiopia to worship God. Something, I don't know, maybe it's something connected there. Maybe it was dug. Israel, I'm going to say this. Israel claims they have it. They claim they have it. The nations of the world wanted that Ark of the Covenant, and they thought, well, if we can only get our hands on that thing, whoever has it conquers the world. That's what, you know, the whole movie about Indiana Jones was about. But the nations of the world wanted that Ark of the Covenant. Why? Because God was there. But when Jesus Christ was crucified, they came in, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain, and the high priest, they went, oh, my God, they thought they're going to be consumed by fire. There was no fire there no more. God wasn't there no more. What happened? When Jesus Christ was crucified, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ was that. So what happened to the Ark of the Covenant? But here it's in heaven again. Now, I know Doc taught us this. He said this. He believed it got raptured out. He believes the Lord just took it out before they got their hands on it. But the Lord allowed the Philistines to get their hands on it, and it killed, I think, 50,000 Philistines, something like that. It was a whole bunch. It killed them because they touched it and got a hold of it. Now, verse 19, it says, y'all can do a research on that thing, on the Ark of the Covenant. It says, and the temple of God was open in heaven, and they were seen in his temple the Ark of his testament, and there was lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. So with that thing, with the Ark of the Covenant, brother, it can, like I said, the light rejected becomes lightning. This thing had power to it. Why? Because God was connected to it. It was solid gold. Now go back to your Bible, to Revelation chapter 1. Go to Revelation 1. Say, what does that do for you? It gets me excited.
Amen.
Knowing the power of God. You know what? You think about this. People, when it starts thundering lightning, it scares people to death. And there was a boy down in Texas. I called his parents about it months ago, Linda and I. There was a boy down in Texas, and he walked out of his house, and he was either at the church or at his house. I forget what it was. It was thunder and lightning, and lightning hit him and killed him. I knew the boy when he was a little kid. We called his parents and told him, the only son that they had, and that lightning killed him. And you know what his mama said? His mama wasn't upset. I mean, we called weeks later, and his mama said this. She goes, well, the only thing we can say is that God definitely wanted him because God pinpointed it. That was pinpointed accuracy. God wanted him. Now, if God wants you, he ain't got no problem getting you. He ain't got no problem getting you. You can go underground, brother. He can get you if he wants you. Look here. Revelation chapter 1. I like this. And it says, John, verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. There's something else before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto our God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so. Amen. Say, is this the rapture? No. No, the rapture takes place in Revelation 4, but the rapture is going to take place. Nobody's going to see him. He's going to come like a thief in the night. But right here, he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming back, and everybody's going to see him. And the Bible says they're going to cry out for the rocks to fall on him. Look at this. And behold, with clouds and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty, and so on. So go to chapter 4, go to Revelation chapter 4. Here's another door open in heaven. Heaven has doors. It has windows. Hell has gates. It has bars. It says, and this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was it as of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. He that sat was to look upon like jasper and a sardis stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, and the sight like on the emerald. And round about the throne was 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightning, thundering, and voices, which were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, and which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like on the crystal. In the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes, before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast as a calf, and the third beast had a face of a man, and the fourth beast was as a flying eagle. And the four beasts that had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was, which is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who lived forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne, worshipped him that lived forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now up in heaven, brother, they're having a time. They're singing, they're praising God, and the 24 elders are down on their face, and all the beasts up there are shouting and praising him, saying, Holy, 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 O Lord God Almighty. And brother, it kind of, when you're reading the book of Revelation, it opens up the door of heaven a little bit, or the window of heaven, you can look in and see some things going on. And this is a special time. I mean, it's a special thing when you have a privilege to be able to have a Bible to look into this and, man, say, hey, this is what's happening. But then there's going to be some other things when you read the book of Revelation that's going to tell you what's going to happen in coming future. So in chapter 12, that's where you get. And it says, look at chapter 12, verse 1. There appeared a great wonder in heaven. And all of a sudden, there appeared a great wonder. A woman clothed in the sun and the moon, under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. This is stuff that John is like, it's like he's in front of he's seeing all this. He's just right seeing it. It's like bigger than life, bigger than any television you can have. He's seeing all this happen, right? Boom, right in front of him. And he's got a pen, he's writing it down, going, wow, this is, then he tells about the seven-headed dragon and all that stuff and taking his tail, drawing a third of the angels and so on. We'll get into that next time. But I'm excited about that, man. Reading this stuff, it stirs me up. Makes me know that I'm on the winning side. Hallelujah.